Hello, everyone. This is Don Jurgler, and welcome to the Insuring Cannabis Podcast, a bi-monthly trip into the intersection of two industries that couldn't be more different. Skunk, Sour Diesel, Afghan Kush, Acapulco Gold. No, we're not going to play Name That Strain. Walk into a dispensary and chances are you'll be greeted by some funny-sounding names. It doesn't stop there. You've got oodles of product names, acronyms galore, CBD, THC, CBG. Then there are all the different vaping products, and infused beverages, and edibles. It's a lot to digest for noobs and for seasoned consumers alike. To help customers, many dispensaries employ what's known as a bud tender. These people are there to help sort out the strain proliferation and their effects. They'll also be able to talk about the dozens of other products that have lately become available in your typical shop. When Matthew O'Brien started out in the cannabis industry, it was the primary job of a bud tender to weigh dried flower and package it up in a process which at the time was referred to as a deli model. Since then, cannabis has become fully legal in Canada. A growing number of U.S. states have legalized it for adult use or medicinal use, and the industry has grown remarkably. In the 3 short years that O'Brien worked his way up the ladder from bud tender to co-founder and CEO of Hiley, a British Columbia-based software company focused on the cannabis space, things have changed quite a bit. Bud tenders now make recommendations on flower. Need to sleep better? Try this strain. Want a more mellow buzz? This'll do. They can explain things like edibles, tinctures, vape pens. But how about if you want a product to help with headaches? Or if you want to know which is best for your touch of arthritis? Or maybe you're pregnant or nursing and you need help choosing the safest product. Some bud tenders might feel just fine making recommendations on any of the above. Those in the insurance game, I can almost hear what you're thinking. Oh, what a tangled web we weave. Right or wrong, some of these recommendations could come with a huge helping of liability on the side. During O'Brien's stint as a bud tender, he recalled one incident where he overheard an uninformed assistant manager talking to the son of a terminally ill cancer patient who was seeking advice. The assistant manager recommended a cannabis product, and then he advised halting ongoing radiation treatments.
And it was that point in time I actually stepped in, and again, just to preface, I was the bud tender, he was the assistant store manager, so definitely an awkward situation to put myself in. But I just said, listen, that's not something you can say to someone. That's not a guarantee we can make.
Playing the role of doctor is not part of the bud tender job description.
I, as a bud tender, cannot actually tell a customer this product will equal this effect, or rather this product will produce this effect consumed in any specific dosage. That is something which I can't say. However, if someone like yourself was to come into the store and were to ask me what is the best cannabis product to produce a relaxing effect, alternatively, what I could say is that I had this specific product, and for me personally, it produced the effect which you're seeking.
Bud tenders making recommendations like the assistant manager did is just the sort of thing that concerns Jody Green. Green, a partner in Nicolaides, Fink, Thorpe, Michaelaides, Sullivan, LLP, represents insurance companies in complex, high-exposure disputes in state and federal courts nationwide.
I've heard of bud tenders recommending cannabis for, you know, help with things like morning sickness. It's supposed to help, you know, give some relief there. You know, people who are using that during pregnancy and having adverse reactions could then, you know, turn around and file a lawsuit. So that's sort of, you know, what we're looking at in terms of what the potential liability could be, because really, bud tenders are acting more like pharmacists or doctors because they're there, you know, right on premise giving advice about, you know, medical use of this product.
Now, we haven't seen a landslide of these types of suits yet. Let me stop here for a shameless plug. For more on why there haven't been more lawsuits in cannabis, check out episode 11 of this podcast, Where Are All the Cannabis Lawsuits? However, Green believes the bud tender related suits may be coming.
I think it's definitely a possibility. It's something we're forecasting. I think that lawsuits in this area, you know, it would look a lot like a product liability lawsuit where, you know, a store is being sued for, you know, giving advice about the use of a particular product. And it's usually in those lawsuits, we don't see, you know, a retail store employee being sued. It's really, they're looking for a deep pocket. And so, you know, the liability is more likely to be on the store. But, you know, the from an insurance standpoint, when we look at it, you know, there are issues that arise as to whether the individual bud tender would be responsible, you know, for selling a product, you know, and doing it in a way that would be covered or not covered under professional liability insurance, which I know you want to talk about.
Phil Skaggs, Assistant Counsel for the American Association of Insurance Services, a national insurance advisory organization, also thinks budtender liability will be a more commonly heard phrase in the not-too-distant future.
There's been a lot of anticipation of liability stemming from all areas of the operations of dispensaries and cultivators and producers. I think that budtender liability is one of those untapped markets or untapped areas of liability that I think the plaintiff's bar is absolutely gearing up, focusing on misrepresentations or failures of budtenders to warn about interactions with cannabis and then other prescription drugs, or actually, you know, making recommendations of cannabis to treat certain medical conditions. It's definitely ripe for claims of improper conduct.
I asked Skaggs where budtender liability coverage would be found in an insurance policy. Skaggs and his cohorts at AAIS love getting into the weeds and policy details. So sit back, relax, and take in his answer.
That's an interesting question with not one direct answer. I mean, your typical general liability policy provides coverage for all company operations, including non-professional negligent acts of company employees. So if a budtender negligently contaminates or adulterates a product or, you know, otherwise contributes negligently to consumer injury, that would, with some exceptions, fall under that general liability policy. Similarly, merely providing warnings or instructions related to cannabis products, that's also going to fall under your CGL. General liability, though, doesn't cover professional advice or conduct. So in most general liability policies, either by form or endorsement, the policy states something along the lines of, you know, we don't pay for bodily injury, property damage, or personal advertising injury that arises out of the rendering of or failure to render a professional service. And there's a considered amount of litigation and disagreement surrounding what that term professional service means. And its scope can be different from state to state and industry to industry. In general, the question turns on like the level of specialized skill or knowledge needed to provide that service or engage in the activity that is the cause of that loss or injury suffered by the consumer. So consulting activity by licensed professionals like pharmacists or doctors fall into this exclusion or, you know, generally outside the scope of general liability, and therefore they fall into a special category known as professional liability, or sometimes also referred to as errors and omissions or E&O coverage. So in the context of the cannabis industry, the issue is pretty clear for a, you know, medical dispensary, for example, employing a licensed medical or pharmaceutical professional who deals directly with patients and consumers, and then effectively prescribes or strongly recommends certain products to treat specific medical conditions. The company, you know, is generally wise to purchase that professional liability in that case. And then those, you know, existing those professional liability policies, they may have some exclusions in there for legal acts or contraband, but these can easily be, you know, addressed via endorsement and other cannabis specific revisions. But when it comes to unlicensed paraprofessionals, like a budtender, does a budtender's representation, a recommendation of a particular strain or method of consumption, does that constitute a professional service that would be excluded under a general liability policy? And does the lack of a license or professional designation by that budtender also preclude them from coverage under the E&O policy? The question is, where is that line, you know, between store clerk and pharmacists? We don't really have that reliable answer to those questions yet in the cannabis industry. But I think if the issue ever makes its way to litigation, the analysis will be extremely fact dependent. And you can anticipate that the court will look at both policies, the E&O and the general liability policy, and ask, you know, what is the skill or level of skill required to be a budtender? What's the quality and nature of like the representations made or actions performed by that budtender? And then what are the reasonable impressions or the expectations of that consumer or injured party? Again, there's a very important distinction, though, to be made between providing those warnings and instructions about a product, which would probably fall under that general liability umbrella, and then recommending a product or activity to treat a medical condition that might ultimately fall under that E&O, or at least be excluded under the CGL policy.
Haven't insurers anticipated some of these problems and therefore included the appropriate exclusions?
I think that, you know, looking at it from a general liability standpoint, there's at least a potential that a lawsuit against a dispensary or a bud tender arising from recommendations regarding a product could possibly fall within the scope of general liability coverage. It really just depends on how the lawsuit is framed and what the policy exclusions are, because the policy would likely have a professional liability exclusion. Most general liability policies do. And it'll exclude coverage for anything, you know, that involves acts, errors, or omissions in professional services. Now, I could talk all day about how do you interpret what professional services means, because it's not always defined, you know, very specifically. And so if it's broadly defined as any professional service, I think that a recommendation regarding the use of a medical, definitely a medical marijuana product, but really any cannabis product could be considered a professional service. And I think it would come down to, you know, arguments on each side about, well, how much training did the bud tender get, right? Did they get any training? Have they had any medical training? What professional training did they get? You know, is their knowledge and skill above that of an ordinary person? And if that's the case, then they would arguably be considered a professional and, you know, liability would be excluded under a CGL policy. As far as other types of policies, I think the same thing would come into play in a product liability policy, very much like a CGL that would have an exclusion for professional services. And so it will be an argument about what, you know, whether it's a professional service or not. You know, I think on the other side of the coin, if you're a bud tender and you haven't received any, you know, specific training about the different products or their effects or really medical training, you would argue it's not a professional service. And I'm just giving advice based on what I know. So I think there are arguments on both sides as far as whether there'd be coverage under a GL policy or under a products liability policy. Now, the other type of policy that a dispensary could have or a bud tender might have would be, a professional liability policy, you know, specifically focused on bud tender liability, which I haven't actually seen any of those, but my understanding is that, you know, there are some carriers that are writing that sort of policy, and it's really specifically focused for this type of issue and this type of claim. So if a dispensary has that policy and this sort of claim comes up, then, you know, depending upon what other terms are in that or terms and exclusions are in the policy, it could be covered. It really just comes down to all the specifics.
Green is not easily finished when you get her on the topic of exclusions. Even a policy that's intended to cover liability arising out of professional services involving the sale of cannabis is going to have certain exclusions.
So it might have an exclusion for things like violations of law or statutes. So for example, if the bud tender is giving advice about the product in a way that violates a state or federal law, that could still be excluded. So there's lots of regulations obviously involving cannabis. And so that's why this is very tricky, I think, you know, to look at the liability issue from a bud tender. You know, they have to really take into account, well, am I giving recommendations that are contrary to law? You're not supposed to, give advice that would violate the law. So that might be an exclusion that could come into play. There might also be, you know, like acts or omissions that violate consumer protection concerns, similar to like a violation of statutes exclusion, expected or intended injury. So if the bud tender is giving advice and the advice that they're giving is, you know, done in a way that would involve expected harm, I think there's arguments that, you know, you're giving advice regarding a product that is actually illegal under federal law still, that smoking it could, you know, cause harm to the lungs and things of that nature. I think there's an argument that that's an expected harm and there could be an exclusion there for that. And then there's also some exclusions for things like non-FDA approved products or, medical products of that nature. And so I think the question would be, again, coming back to the same issue that we have with cannabis, is that it's, even if it's technically legal under state law, it might be You know, it's not legal under federal law, and therefore there'd be an argument that it's you know, not approved by the FDA and thus potentially excluded. So I think that's a handful. I think there are definitely other ones as well that could come into play, but there's a lot of potential pitfalls here. And I think my advice would be, obviously, you know, from the dispensary standpoint, read your policy, you know, be sure to ask your insurance broker about all the options of, you know, all the different types of policies that you might need, from CGL coverage to product liability and potentially professional liability as well.
Despite the negative experience with the assistant manager, O'Brien is a believer in the power of good bud tending, and he continues to see the good that can come out of a kind bud tender customer relationship.
For myself, I would say the most interesting experience of all that I had was that we had an individual who I won't name, but I still distinctively remember his name, who came into the store, and his mother was actually terminally ill with cancer. And at the time, I was developing a pretty good set of expertise in cannabis, however, not next nor near the level of expertise that would have been sufficient to make a recommendation for someone who has a relative who's terminally ill from cancer. And for the individual, it was sort of a last-ditch attempt at getting his mother respite. So the expectations were that cannabis wasn't going to cure the cancer. It was just so that it would be something which could offer specific symptom relief, because she was having a lot of problems actually keeping her food down and actually having an appetite to eat the food in the first place. So for myself, that was a very interesting experience. I would say if there's one experience which I can sort of circle back to, which really made me grow up, I'd say it was that one specifically, and just dealing with that individual on a weekly basis, having pretty in-depth conversations as to what was working, what wasn't working, doing the best I could to actually make solid recommendations, which would ultimately help ease the suffering of that individual.
He acknowledged that the business of selling cannabis is complex and therefore not without peril. But it's his opinion that all these head-spinning choices that bud tenders have to help customers navigate should get a bit simpler as the industry matures.
What I foresee being, I guess, one of the most important fundamental changes within the retail store itself is that stores are going to start carrying limited SKUs. So today, there are a lot of products still being brought to market. Ultimately, you have craft cannabis, which was significantly hindered, which resulted in it not being able to produce products for the first 12 months after legalization. Not a lot of those products are coming online, and a lot of the additional product formats, whether it be edibles, whether it be vapes, consumers are really starting to get a better understanding of what works best for them. And ultimately, as stores start to accumulate data on the specific product formats and the specific brands which are most applicable to their consumer base, what I foresee happening is that stores are going to start reducing the number of SKUs they're going to carry. They're going to start carrying the product formats and the brands they know are going to be in demand at their specific location. And ultimately, I foresee that having significant changes as regards how a bud tender does their role. Because ultimately, you can only make a recommendation for a product that is available within your store. So today, whereby you have a bud tender trying to recommend a product based upon potentially 50 different SKUs, I think that as the industry matures, the number of SKUs any particular store carries will start to be reduced. However, that's just speculation based upon my own experiences. It could play out at any different number of ways. However, if I was put in the spot, that's likely the most significant change I foresee in the coming years.
Well, there you have it. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Insuring Cannabis Podcast. You can find other episodes from this series by visiting insurancejournal.tv. Until next time, I'm Don Gerbler.